Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
We welcome you, and we're going to have our announcements. We're going to change things up a bit here. We're going to have some of our announcements, a couple of them, here before our service. So if you would sit tight, and we'll have the greeting in a moment. So, Tom?
Good morning. Some of you probably noticed on the slides they went by that this is Stewardship Month for Trinity. And as part of that, we're going to have speakers each weekend on various different topics that are pertinent to our stewardship drive. And my name is Tom Finger. I'm the senior elder at Trinity. And my talk today is going to be on the importance of making a pledge and exactly what is Christian stewardship. First, what is Christian stewardship? Probably everybody has a pretty good idea of what they think it is, but let's explore it real quick. Okay, a secular definition of stewardship from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary: the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful, responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Now we're going to shift over and look at what does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod say about Christian stewardship. They say, Christian stewardship is the free and joyous activity of the child of God and God's family, the church, in managing all of life and life's resources for God's purposes. And it goes on to say that maturing stewards do the right things for the right reasons and strive for excellence in all they do. What does that mean to us? Well, as Christians, we live knowing that everything we own and all that we accomplish in life comes from God. In other words, we don't have skills, we don't have wealth, we don't have intelligence, we don't have material goods, except through the Lord. So what are we actually doing when we give to the church? Are we giving God something that we own? Really not. When we give to the church, we're attempting to manage the gifts that he has given us in a careful, responsible, and God-pleasing manner. Now, once we've decided exactly what it is we're going to be able to give to the church, in quotation marks, the next thing to do is fill out a pledge card. And on Thursday this past week, we mailed out a letter that contained pledge cards to all of our membership. Some people I know received them yesterday. I did not at my house. But if you don't get one by next Wednesday, the possibility either we don't have the right address for you or one just got lost in the mail. So if you contact Chanda, we'll make sure we get another one sent out to you. And I'm asking you on behalf of Trinity Lutheran Church to pull out that pledge card and agree to donate a specific amount of money over the upcoming church fiscal year as soon as you can. It's important to know that this is not a financial or a legally binding financial document. It's an agreement between you and the Lord on what of your treasures you can share this coming year with the church. It's also important to know that the amount that you pledge is confidential. Pastor won't know what you pledge. I won't know what you pledge. Unless they're a spouse or family member sitting next to you in the pew, they won't know what you pledge. The only people that will have access to that data are financial folks who need to be able to enter it into the system and track the donations as they come in to make sure that people get credit for it. Now, if your financial situation changes, and we would hope that your financial situation would improve and you would be able to contribute more, but either way, if it's more or less, it's important that we be able to stay current on what it is that you're going to be donating. So we would ask you to call the church office and ask to be connected to finance. Again, the only people that would know about these changing conditions would be the financial people. Okay? So, you know, you might say to yourself, I put money in the plate every week. Why do I need to pledge? And the short answer is the church can prepare its annual budget and have a sense of confidence that our anticipated revenues are going to match what the budget numbers are. And a couple of months ago, we had to come to the congregation and say, hey, our revenue projections for this year did not match what our budget numbers were, our actual numbers were. So we had to come to the congregation, and I appreciate everybody stepping up and making extra donations to get us over the hump. But part of the problem was, out of the regular attendees, and I'm not talking whole church membership, but the regular Sunday service attendees, less than 30% have filled out a pledge card for the current fiscal year, which ends this coming June 30th. That makes it very difficult when we try to sit down and project out through the year, how can we fulfill Trinity's mission in downtown Orlando? What assets are we going to be able to use to get this done? So I strongly encourage each of you to complete a pledge card as soon as you can and mail it back to the church or drop it in the collection plate. It costs you nothing and lets Trinity know how much money will be available to do God's work in the upcoming year. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to invite you now to stand and welcome each other. Let everybody know you're here and shake hands. Welcome from Naples.
Thank you very much.
We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy gave his only begotten Son to die for you. For his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Heavenly King, almighty God and Father,
we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, our Son of God.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
It's the third Sunday of Easter. We have the glorious reading of St. Paul when his life was changed and our life was changed. And he knew that Easter was real. It's from the book of Acts, beginning at chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias came in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind them who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and he rose and was baptized, and taking food he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle gives us a glimpse of heaven when a scripture, it's like a scripture, was read there from Revelation chapter 5. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls filled full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, for every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the sky and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Where he lives, and let it be done. Alleluia. Where he lives, where he lives, where he lives.
Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the book of St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, called Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. They were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of a large, great quantity of fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not even torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come now and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared even ask, "Who are you?" They knew who it was. It was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them, and so with fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We invite you now to be seated and to join us in the singing of our baptismal hymn, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb." Good news that we have another opportunity to baptize another one of our family of faith here at Trinity, little Jacoby. Jacoby is the son of Philip the third, second, sorry about that. The second, Philip Brown and Christina. Wonderful family you have here, and we're so happy that you're going to share this moment with us. And so I would like to just say, as we look at Jacoby, his middle name is Elias. And so, would your last name be Brown too? You two guys? That be your last name? Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So we're going to have you help us here with baptism. Okay, so I want you to listen, because one day we did the same thing to him that we did to you or another pastor. And so when we have this today, you'll get to see what your baptism was like, okay? Jacoby Elias Brown, receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and over your heart as a remembrance that you are redeemed by Christ the crucified. Today it's a very good thing that you are bringing Jacoby here to the waters of God's grace and mercy, that you're going to be making some promises as parents and with your children of faith, the family of faith here at Trinity, that we will be making some promises together with you. And so as we look at this, we want to let you know that. And so I would like to just ask you, as you and I start to look at this, we realize that God commanded, in the words of Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so all people would certainly be including the little ones like Jacoby, wouldn't they? Yeah. And so when we start to think about that, aren't these pacifiers wonderful? I had one with my own granddaughter here just a few days ago. I was holding her, and it seemed like that just was the magic pill. Yeah. So in any case, when we start to think about what God is doing here, he's working faith into his heart. And as he did with you guys, he gave you the ability to believe in Jesus. And he also says, I want to be your God, and I want you to be in my family. So as we baptize Jacoby, he's going to be brought into God's family through the waters of baptism. God's choosing him, like God chose you to be his children. That's pretty special, isn't it? And so throughout his life and throughout your lives, throughout our lives, God says, I baptized you and I knew you by name from the foundation of the world. But he's also saying to us, I will hear and answer your prayers throughout your life. And so as you speak, God knows you by name. Okay? That's a pretty cool promise, isn't it? Okay. I'm going to have your help now. So, do you think both of you could help me pour some water in here? Can you stick your finger in there? Is that too cold? Is it too hot? It's too cold. That makes him cry. I'm kidding you. Okay, can you both help me? I want you to help me first, okay? So you can you hold this with me? Can you reach up here? We're going to pour it in a little bit at a time. Should we do a little more? We better at least save some for your brother or use it all up. Okay, that's good. That's a good dog. Good girl. Okay, now you're going to hold it. You're a big, strong guy. Can you pour that in there? Okay, we'll help you there. I think that'll be enough. Okay? Now, I want you to come back here. Stick your finger in this water. Does it feel different?
Uh-huh.
How?
Because it's cold.
Because it's cold? Okay. Okay. How about you? Stick your finger in. How is it? Does it feel different than water? No, it's the same as water at your house or here at church. But this is going to have God's words added to it, okay? And so we're going to put God's words in with this water, and he tells us through the waters of holy baptism, we are washed and renewed, regenerated, made new. And so that means that God is at work in this water to grant faith to your brother, Jacoby. Okay? And so I want to let you know that. And I want each of us to remember that as we were baptized, God did the same thing for us. So I'd like to have us as a congregation also make confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And these words are found in the inside cover on the back of your hymnal. The back cover. If you open that up, you'll see the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Oh, good. He's starting to cry. Can I take him? Christina, how old is he right now?
10 days.
Okay, 10 days. What a precious gift. What a precious gift. Jacoby Elias Brown, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit. There we go. Can I have you hold that? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for Jacoby Elias Brown. We ask that you would bless his mommy and his daddy as they have seen this wondrous gift of grace poured out into their child's life. May they be eager and willing to serve you and to raising him as a young man of faith, giving him the word of God and teaching him the things of God so that he, too, can continue in this journey of faith. I ask your blessing upon him in Jesus' name. I now turn to you as parents and ask, are you willingly and gladly able to bring him to the house of God to worship and to Sunday school, to learn the things of God, and to raise him up in a Christian home? If so, answer yes with the help of God. And are you guys willing to help your little baby brother grow up? Okay, and be a good Christian little boy. Okay? So that's going to take you guys helping him too. That's good. Together, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's step over here for a second. Tony? I will give him back. You keep wanting to put this out.
Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which will have no end. You can burn this candle on the anniversary of this day to commemorate this wonderful joy.
I think there's some other items here. Well, let's introduce Jacoby to the congregation. Welcome to the newest member of Trinity, Jacoby Elias Brown. And now the part I said I would do. You got your hands full. Good catch, Dad. You caught the passing prayer.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
God's blessings.
Thank you.
There can be pictures with grandmas and grandpas as well after the service. So if you want to do all of that, we can redo some of that. So let us know. God's blessings. We continue our service now with the message. Thank you, Tony. Our stewardship message this week is taken from week one of four. Luke 6, 37 and 38, give and it will be given unto you. There's a story about a strong man who had been at a circus, and with his bare hands he could squeeze things that were very, very difficult to squeeze and to bend and mold. And at the end of his performances nightly at this sideshow, he would take a lemon, and with his bare hands he would claim that he could squeeze every last drop out of this lemon. And in fact, so much he said, I will give $200 to anyone who can squeeze even another drop out of this lemon. So Andreas squeezed and squeezed. He squinted and he grinned and he did all that he could, and he got every last bit out that he could get out. And then he said, if there's anyone who can come out of the audience and who can even get but one drop out of this lemon, I'll give them $200. And there was a lady who was advanced in years, a frail woman, who hobbled up to the stage and said, son, can I try? And with a grin, he was glad to take her up. So as a result, she grabbed the lemon from Andreas. And she squoze, and she squinted, and she squoze again. And Andreas looked in the thing, the receptacle, and he saw not only a drop, but there was a full teaspoon of lemon juice from this lady. And he says, ma'am, here's your $200, but can I ask you, what's your secret? She said, son, practice. You must practice. She said, you see, I've been a church treasurer for 42 years, and I know how to squeeze. As you and I kick off the stewardship season, we want to know, first of all, that this is not all about money. It's all about using what God has given us and entrusted to us as stewards of His mercy and grace, to squeeze out every bit of juice that we can in service to our Lord, using our time, our talents, and our treasures. And to be able to live the life and enjoy the life that He's blessed us with and intends for us to have. This past week on Thursday, it was the National Day of Prayer. And the theme for this year was John 13, verse 34. Jesus' words say this, love one another just as I have loved you. And in today's text it says, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and the like. But before those words came out of Jesus' lips, He said these words, love your enemies. And then He said, condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Judge not, and you will not be judged. And as I began to prepare this message, it dawned on me that I had never put together this stewardship message with loving. And so I would like to have us focus on that greater element of stewardship and ultimately of discipleship, of loving as Christ has loved us. Hatred is the opposite thing of loving, and especially when it relates to loving our enemies. And hatred is a poison pill. You might say it sours our soul and it robs us of the Christ-like outlook He would have us to have for our life. It robs us of the riches of God's intent for the very purpose and meaning and enjoyment of our life. And in the Lord's Prayer, we also hear and understand that harboring hatred, not forgiving one another, is something that we pray about every week as we come together, and hopefully daily. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have sinned or trespassed against us. And Jesus' words in that same chapter 6 say to us, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven won't forgive you either. And so as you and I start to see this, we see this is pretty strong stuff. But it's all filed under the label of giving, of stewarding. Judge not, Jesus says, and you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. And forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now, I want you to understand, if we flip this message over and just say, if we're not going to judge, we're not going to be judged. And condemned, we won't be condemned. And if we forgive others, they will be forgiving of us. What does Jesus do here? He gives us a full dose of the gospel. He pours it out. And God's gospel is such good news. Don't judge and you won't be judged. Condemn not and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Wow. That's very motivational for us to understand. As we stand before the Lord Himself, as we come to Judgment Day to hear and to know this moment that we won't be judged, that we'll be forgiven, and that God has Himself called and claimed us through the waters of baptism to be His. Wow. That's gospel good stuff. And it brings me to a point of realization that sometimes I am judgmental. And Lord, I pray, forgive me for the times that I'm judgmental. And I hope you do for yourselves as well. Or condemning, or unforgiving. And you know, when those times when you and I look in the mirror, for a woman it might be as she's putting on her makeup or her lipstick, or a man as he's shaving, rubbing that razor over his face as it burns in pain, you wonder why? Well, we start to sometimes wonder, but we start to think about also the things that have gone on in our world or our life. And we start to see and say, could I have handled that differently? Should I have said this rather than that? Lord, I was judgmental, we confess. I did condemn in my words or my actions. I was unforgiving. Lord, forgive me. Move me to repent and to bear the fruits of repentance. I want your love, Jesus. I want your forgiveness, God. Help me even to love those who don't and won't love me, even though I and you may call them my enemy. And as I remember in the book of Romans, I read that even while we were yet sinners, enemies of God, God sent His own Son into the world. And Jesus died a horrible death upon the cross to pay the pain and the penalty of my sins. And He didn't judge me, and He didn't condemn me. But from the cross, He did forgive me. He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. And as you and I start to see this, we see that the joy of what God has done. And it's at this moment that we see the Holy Spirit leading us deeper into the waters of stewardship, zipping us past our wallets and our checkbooks and wondering how big we should make that check. He goes straight to our heart. He leads us to deeper waters of abundant life and service to God and peace with our fellow man. Now, I've shared with you a story in the past of a young woman. A young woman of a former parish of ours, she treated our children and other children in our youth group terribly. And some 14 years later, in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, I'd given a presentation for one of our church planters, and it was on the big screen. And a lot of people were there, and God had orchestrated that this young lady was also in the room. And she says to her husband, who is also now a pastor, oh my, that's Pastor Doug. And she made a beeline to the front stage. And when I came off the stage, she said, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me for what I'd done? And I embraced her. And then she found Desiree. And Desiree, she asked the same question. And Desiree forgave her. And the next morning, we had breakfast with she and her husband. And it was like there'd never been any problem ever before. There was just a wonderful world of peace and forgiveness and love. And she had been hurt and harbored all of this hurt and anxiety inside of her, bottled up for 14 plus years. And now a mommy herself, and the wife of a pastor. She needed to know she'd been forgiven. She needed to know that she could still be loved. And I want you to know that this love pledge that I'm going to ask you for is so real and so vital for us to be able to say yes. That Jesus says, given it will be given to you. And I hope you think that it's not just about money here. But I hope and hear that you will say that's about loving as Jesus has loved us. That we'll love one another. And speak those words of forgiveness to someone who may be asking for your forgiveness. Or to say, will you please forgive me, to someone whom you've hurt. Because in this love pledge, what we're asking for is for us to simply pledge to love as God has loved us. And as we give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Can you just imagine the little guys up here when they're pouring the waters in the baptismal bowl and we had a bigger amount of water and we kept pouring, the water would go over and we'd have to say what Pastor Billy said last week, I need more towels. When you and I see the God's grace pouring into our life, overflowing, he says, it'll be running over, it'll be poured out into your lap. It'll be so much, you can't contain it. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Yes, Jesus says, give, offer your love and your forgiveness. Repent and remove judgment and condemnation from others, and don't let this sour your soul or theirs, but rather free your spirit and theirs to abundant life. This moves us joyfully to respond to God's grace. And as we give from our heart, our time, our talents, and our treasures, we are moved responding, saying, P.S., thank you, God. And God yet again sweetens the deal. He says, given, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You know, so it's really compact and dense. Can't get any more in there. Running over, it'll be poured out into your lap. It's been said we cannot outgive God. As a steward and a tither, I have found this certainly, most certainly to be the case. God has blessed me beyond all measure. He has provided for me my daily bread. He has cared for me and protected me and my family on an everyday basis. He's granted me the privilege and of the calling by Him to serve you here at Trinity in this congregation a little over a year ago. And I have the knowledge that He has called me here, but that you had called me here as well, as this body of believers. And as we come to the table of the Lord, I have the privilege of giving you the body and blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and offering you the forgiveness of all your sins. In and with and under that bread and wine, as you drink it, you're able to receive it and to rejoice and respond as you receive that, to leave the altar and to go and serve Him and to love others. And when I see that, I know that God is sweetening the deal yet again. He's also enabled us, as stewards of His grace and His mercy, to dig out of debt. Debt that was at our own doing, yes, but by His grace, digging out. And with every one of those payments and credit cards that were paid off, I said, Desiree, we just got a raise. When the car and the van, I should say, was paid off, I said, wow, this was almost a $300 raise. Wasn't God good? And now all but the home are paid for. And of course, the debt of loving you and one another. But the best of all of this is that God has promised you and me abundant life here and now. But He also has promised us that we get to be heirs of heaven. And He's gone ahead to prepare a place in paradise for us. where we'll spend eternity with Him. And He's opened up everything to us, giving us all the riches and the glory and the splendor of heaven for eternity. It's a place He's prepared for Jacoby and each of us. And so when you and I are asked, as we look at that pledge card and we say, what can I do? What can I give? We owe it all to the Lord. But we can't outgive God. Last weekend, I preached at my niece's wedding on the 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Paul makes it clear that without love, I am nothing. I have nothing. I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And that's on one end of the bookcase. If I don't have love, I have nothing. Even if I went so far as to give my body, he says, over to be sacrificed and burnt, I'm still nothing. I've done nothing unless I have love. But then he says at the other end of the bookcase, faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. You and I have been blessed with the love of God. It's been poured out, shaken together, put into our laps. When we see it on the cross. How much did God love us? This much. So it is with you, my friends, that Jesus says those words. Love as I've loved you. Love one another. And now may the peace of God help us squeeze out all the juice of life. We don't have to be a church treasurer to do that. We just need to be a good, godly steward of God's grace and mercy. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and glorify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. And Savior Jesus, help us to remember the love that you have extended to us, and to love as you have loved us in our fellow man, with our relationships in our world, in our church, in our family, in our workplace, and in this community called Orlando. Help our church to be known as the early church was known, to be said, oh, how they loved one another. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless us and work in us the greatest possible plans for stewarding us, to show such a love to be extended through our school, through our church, and through our membership. But we also ask, O Lord, that you would bless as we give, that it would be given unto us. That yes, Lord, you would bless our commerce and our business, our employers, and those who are running business, that you would bless them as well. We ask for your hand of providence and peace and prosperity, and for us to be generous in our response to your grace and mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of those who have requested them.
Father, the congregation lifts the names of the following individuals for prayers of supplication. We pray for Jeff, who is undergoing open heart surgery. Lord, we ask that you would be with the doctors and nurses, that they would attend to him and give Jeff strength. And we pray for a prayer of thanksgiving for Lori, who had successful gallbladder surgery this past week. We ask healing for Lori as well. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Thank you. Our Lord, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As often as we drink this cup and eat this bread, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Trinity. It's loud today. The LWML Mother's Day plant sale is going on. LWML, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, outside the side door of the chapel in the loggia area. They'll be closing shortly after the service. The LWML supports missions and outreach activities worldwide, but for this event, they are gifting the proceeds to Trinity Lutheran. So out the side door. And I'm reminding you that three or four gentlemen or ladies who wish to assist, the ladies need help moving two big tables into the loggia classroom afterwards. So if someone could assist them with that, that would be great. Thank you. Trinity Summer VBS Roar is an African safari adventure, and it'll be held June 17th through the 21st, 9 to 12 each day. And the theme is God is good and will stay with them forever. The VBS donation tree is in the narthex, where you can purchase and return supplies that support the the Vacation Bible School, if I didn't say that before, session. And registration is now open, and look in your weekly for that information. Thank you to the Joyful Noise Choir, Joyful Noise Choir. Congratulations, thank you. I'm not nervous, I just can't talk today. And finally, I'm promoting in next Monday evening, the 13th, the day after Mother's Day, is a voters' assembly. And I'm going to put some draft policies on either both exits. And what these are is an opportunity to look at these policies. These are gun and weapons policies for Trinity Lutheran. Yes, it's a changing world out there that we walk into every day we leave the church. We have to keep up with our policies to support how we behave and act in the campus. And what this policy is, and hear me the whole thing out, it's a no guns policy on campus. But what it does is recognize that all of us as citizens have a right to legally carry firearms as we move about in our life. And in fact, state laws are changing as we speak, potentially with bills that are in now, that open up greater opportunity for guns to be on church and school campuses, even on church campuses because they are private. So we need to get our grips on what our policies are. The policy does recognize that individuals have a right, and it will be a confidential permitting process. And we will go through some of the details of what this is. But that permitting process makes clarity in that if you decide you wish to carry on campus, you legally can, but it sets up the stage that you act on your own behalf and not on behalf of Trinity. And this is we have to do these kind of things because of insurance also. So you can take the policy, look at it, and come to the 13th Voters Assembly, ask questions, ask me questions, or any member of council that you wish. On the back side is also a policy that just defines what weapons are on campus. And it's from state law, and it's a list that's a mile long, but there's things I don't even recognize on there. But it's all items that we want to get control of and just know how people have them or don't have them on campus. So I thank you, and I'll put these at the exits.
Please join us for our final hymn, and it's good to be back. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.